This is Creepy and Geeky, a part of the Morbidly Beautiful Podcast Network. Welcome to Creepy and Geeky. I'm your host, Robert, and on today's episode, we'll be talking about the first movie of Phase 4, Black Widow. Returning to the show for this episode is my daughter, Katrina. Welcome back to the show.
Hello, thank you.
Yeah. So it's fun to have you on, and today we're talking some MCU, the first movie, like I said, in Phase 4, the first movie of the multiverse saga. But really, this is kind of an epilogue to, well, kind of. It's an epilogue to Black Widow's story and the previous three phases. But it's also a prologue to stuff that's going to move forward as well. So, because we're introduced to some new characters that are going to be in a future movie as well. So, So we're talking, like I said, about Black Widow, and this is, set between, like, after the events of Captain America: Civil War, so Black Widow's on the run from Secretary Ross, and that's kind of where it starts. That's not true.
Yeah.
The movie actually starts with a flashback to Natasha's early years, a brief moment where her and her family, quote unquote family, are living in Ohio, and we get to meet her little sister Yelena and her parents, who you find out later are Alexei and Melina, and they go on the run because they have been Russian sleeper cell family who were there to get some information, they go on the run and manage to barely escape. But we do get some interesting family moments with them before they escape. It shows, that they're sort of a family, that the Yelena definitely, as a little kid, she didn't really see it as anything other than being a family. But Natasha, you can tell she knew, she was a little bit older and just a bit wiser about it.
Mm-hmm. So, I didn't realize that the actress who played young Yelena was the same actress who was in Megan.
Is she? I didn't know that. I didn't realize that. So she's
young Yelena is the main girl in Megan, not Megan, but the other girl.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, I didn't realize that until I was rewatching it. I was like, what the heck?
That's very cool. I didn't catch that. That's funny. So we got, David Harbour, who I'm a big fan of. Loved him on Stranger Things. He was on The Newsroom prior to that, and then of course he's been he was Santa Claus in Violent Night, and he was in a favorite movie of mine, playing a favorite character of mine. He was in Hellboy, so he was Hellboy. Unfortunately, that movie did not do well, and he will no longer ever be Hellboy, even though I thought he was excellent. But no, I'm a big fan of his, and it was great to see him in this role where he plays a Russian version of Captain America. He plays the Red Guardian.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's definitely got some form of a super soldier formula. He's stronger, faster, more agile, even older, as we find him later in current time, or just after Civil War, current time. I don't know. It's just fun to see David Harbour. I think he's excellent in pretty much everything he's ever done. So, mm-hmm. so, but yeah, yeah, no, this is, This is, you know, after they escape and they land in Cuba, they're kind of separated as a family. Red Guardian goes off to do his thing. Melina goes off to do her thing, and the two girls are put back into the Red Room program, which we learned a little bit about in previous movies. But you learn a lot more in this one, just about how they've been. You learn a lot about, you know, the Red Room and how they kind of sub what they subjected these girls to. And like, you know, they were definitely weren't willing recruits. They were just taken from people and subjected to Natasha. Natasha and previous groups were subjected to like brainwashing kind of conditioning. And then later on, Yelena's group, and after they were subjected to chemical subjugation, as they put it. So it was an interesting, it's an interesting way to show how these this Red Room works and how both of these characters kind of came about, like, you know, the different kind of the different generations of Black Widows and everything. So but yeah, you know, you really wanted to talk about this one. So what was it that about this movie that really spoke to you and made you want to be on the show to talk about it?
I think, like, despite me liking other movies in Phase Four, this is the movie that I've like come back to the most for whatever reason. I like really enjoyed it, like first watch in the theater. And it was very interesting to like see, like, I Black Widow was never a character that I really gave any thought about or consideration of. About. So this movie was very interesting because I always thought, like, for me at least, Black Widow is more of like a side character. Like, I consider like Barton like a side character, kind of along the main MCU Avengers, even though they're the main ones, you don't ever like really get to like know them
Well, because they
that
never got their
much.
movies,
And so, like, so the Black Widow movie was very interesting to like kind of just see like who she is and like where she came from, because you only really get a little bit in like Civil War and like Winter Soldier, I think
Winter
she's in.
Soldier, you get a little bit of Red Room kind of backstory. It's very brief, but you get a little bit of it in Age of Ultron as well.
So there's like it, like, you just, it's just an interesting thing into Natasha. And I really like this movie because it started like my appreciation for Florence Pugh.
Oh yeah. Well, like for me, like it began with Midsommar and then continued into
I
Black
didn't
Widow.
realize that that her and Midsommar, like, that was the same actress until after the movie, because I was like, she looks familiar, and you're like, she's in Midsommar. I was like, oh, well, that makes sense. It's like two complete different characters. I love her character in this. The, like, you're such a poser, like, whole thing, like, so funny. And she's just, the writing that they did for Florence Pugh's character for Yelena is just so funny, because she is just like that little sister, like,
No, absolutely. Yeah, go ahead.
but then also, like, I like the scenes in the movies are all pretty like well done. I don't know. It's just a fun movie to watch for me. I guess I'm like, I like movies that are about like girl power, things like that. So this movie was very much like that, kind of like banding together to help women stuff. So it was fun. So I'm glad I got to rewatch it again. Because it was just interesting to like see stuff for another time so that we could talk about it.
Yeah, I liked the sister dynamic they had, even though they obviously hadn't seen each other for a very long time. And probably since they were kids.
Yeah.
That they still, once they kind of got past a few things, they kind of dropped back into that kind of sisterly vibe. And
Yeah.
then the same thing with the family overall. They, you know, it's a dysfunctional, fractured family and very weird, but in the end, they all came together, to kind of support each other and to do what they needed to do to take on the Red Room.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was really cool. And I think that's what's nice about going forward is we all know that because this movie came out after Endgame, Natasha's dead. She's not coming back.
Yeah.
But we are getting Red Guardian, Melina, and Yelena all in the upcoming Thunderbolts movie. So that's really going to be a lot of fun. And apparently it was some of it, the original writing of it, the original story of it was a little more closer to kind of a continuation of that storyline. And I'm assuming there'll still be that in the movie, but because the movie also features Bucky and US Agent and Ghost and Taskmaster and stuff, that they'll kind of spread the story a little bit more evenly. So it's not just Black Widow part two, you know?
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. So, but, yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. It was, you know, I'm an easy mark, obviously, for the Marvel stuff, but there are a few, movies that I'm just kind of like soft on. This is not one of them. This is one of the ones I really enjoyed. And every time I watch it, I like it even more. So it's one of those ones that continues to grow on me. Not that it ever wasn't great to begin with, but it continues to grow on me every time I watch it. I wouldn't say it's one of those ones that I go back to all that often, but definitely when I do go back to it, I'm like, man, this is such a good movie. And it's nice to just see this. It's nice to see, Natasha getting her own movie, getting her own story. And I'm glad they finally did it, even if it was after she died. I wish they had managed to do it before Endgame, but you know, it is what it is. And I'm glad we got a little bit more with her. But yeah, no, I like that family dynamic. I like that it's, you know, it's weird and messy, you know, because that's what families are like. You know? And but in the end, they all came together. The, you know, Dracoff being the bad guy, and then kind of, you know, getting that backstory of what Natasha had to do to prove that, you know, she was no longer, you know, Russian and everything like that, and prove that she was on the side of S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything like that, was to kill Dracoff. And then the collateral damage of his daughter and everything just weighing on her like this whole time. And then finding out the daughter was Dracoff, but has been like subjugated also, was just like crazy.
Yeah, that scene at the end was really sad, where the first thing that she says, like that Taskmaster says when she's like released from the chemical stuff, is he gone? Like, that was like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But when you're being like abused and tortured and used in a way like that, that's that would be the first thing on my mind too.
And I mean, you know, and it sets the end of this sets up a lot of stuff. Like I said, you know, it sets up some stuff that goes into that's going to be picked up in Thunderbolts probably, but also it sets up some storyline that gets picked up in the Hawkeye TV show, so which I'll talk about when I talk about that show. But it's, you know, they leave it with the widows that were on board the Red Room carrier, or whatever you want to call it. They were, you know, they were released from the chemical, but So now Yelena and some of them are going to go find other widows that are out in the field because there's hundreds of them, and try to go release them as well. And so I thought that was a cool thing to do. And we do get a tiny bit of that with in the Hawkeye TV series. So definitely, if you haven't seen that, watch that before before my episode that comes up with it. But yeah, that part was interesting. The Taskmaster stuff was interesting as well because so this was kind of a bone I had to pick with the movie, and I've come around on it sort of. But Taskmaster in the comic books is a guy, and I don't have a problem with the gender switch on it at all. But the tying it to the widows and Dreykov and everything like that is kind of like, I don't know, it takes some of the interesting aspects of the character out of that, because the character himself has this ability. I don't think it's ever been said that it's a superhuman ability, but he has like photographic reflexes. So whereas people who have a photographic memory, they can read whatever, or they can remember anything they saw or read or whatever. Well, he can remember and replicate every move he's seen. So he can watch Spider-Man or Captain America or anybody and do the exact same thing. He can become an expert archer based on just watching footage of Hawkeye. And so I found that to be a fascinating ability. Now he can't do anything superhuman, so things like that, a superhuman can do, he just can't do that. So taking away, like, they kind of did that where they were uploading things to her and she was watching those things. So they kind of put that in there, and they definitely did do that. It just was weird the way they did it. And like I said, I've come around on it. I think that it's fine now, but it just kind of was just like, okay, it's kind of a weird thing, because in the comic books, Taskmaster is a guy who is basically an assassin. He's a for hire. And so, he works for whoever hires him. And he also has a school where he trains all the flunkies, all the mercenary minions of people like Hydra and AIM and all those people in the Marvel universe. So that's where he had this school for all that. So I thought that was a fun thing that they just, and I get it now in a world post Hydra and everything, that, what's the use of that? But that was the disappointing part of it, just him not being the character not being a mercenary for hire type thing, an assassin for hire. I get why they changed it, and that's fine. I'm interested in seeing where the character moves forward from here. So, what did you think of the character?
I thought Taskmaster was interesting. I like when you first meet them, it's like on the bridge, I think, with Natasha, and they're just after the like
The vials,
briefcase.
yeah.
Yeah, the vials, and when they finally get it, it's empty. And I think that is like kind of funny, but it looks like Taskmaster just like gives up once they realize that Natasha has it and like is going there. But like that one part was like, I don't think Taskmaster would just like give up just because it's not in the thing, because they know where Natasha went. It's just a matter of finding her.
Right.
And Taskmaster has done it before, so why not just continue finding her? Because obviously Natasha's worn out. So I don't know. It was
Yeah.
a little weird, that one part, because I was just like I don't know. I understand story wise that they had to give Natasha a break, but
Right.
I think
Yeah.
realistically, if a thing like Taskmaster existed that was just like a killing machine, basically, they wouldn't like, because Dreykov made her so that she would just keep going. So,
Right.
that was just one thing. But I like the character. I think it was interesting, the whole thing about replicating stuff. It adds a new element to like the world, I think, because that means
Right.
that like you will meet your match kind of thing. Whereas the like Avengers are like usually these like unbeatable people, but Taskmaster is like all of them wrapped up into one if it's like utilized properly.
Right.
But yeah, I thought it was interesting. I don't really have a lot like on Taskmaster because they weren't shown a lot in the movie.
Right.
But it's definitely, I definitely thought it was a guy, though.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like that's the interesting thing was they definitely went out of their way to show that or like to kind of put you off and make you not think that it was a woman the whole time. That way at the end when it's revealed it's a woman, that it's kind of a shock, you know?
Yeah.
So, which
I
was
mean, it
fine.
worked.
Like,
Yeah.
yeah. And it was fine because it was like it was a good reveal. So yeah, it was I at first was kind of just like it was more like I was disappointed that we didn't get something a little closer to the original character, but then after subsequent watches, I've been like, okay, it's close enough. I still, you know, it's still kind of like, ah, man, I kind of miss the, you know, because he's kind of a jerk, and you know, he's kind of, you know,
Yeah.
wisecracks a little bit. And he's a thorn in their sides, you know, anybody who goes up against him because he can nearly mimic every, you know, move. And so it makes him really difficult to fight. I mean, and as long as we get more of that, then I'm good, you know. So we'll see how the character evolves in the Thunderbolts movie. What, go ahead.
One thing about the movie that I liked was that like they talked about like Natasha's real mom and like that whole thing where they said that she was re relentless in trying to find Natasha and get her back, and Natasha never knew. And then when she does find out that her mom was trying to find her, and then she finds out that the Red Room killed her and basically assassinated her mom. Like that's like, I think that's one of the moments in the movie that I'm that like makes me more emotional, because it's like Natasha, like I think she's always like kind of had like a wall up because she doesn't think anybody's like ever like cared about her in that way, because like her like fake parents or whatever like abandon her, and the Red Room doesn't care about her. And even with the Avengers, she's like more of like a lone wolf type person, even
Well,
when she's
especially
with
like in
them.
the beginning, she's just like nobody's around with her and everything like that. They've all splintered so that they can all get away and everything. And so, you know, and then obviously by the time, you know, Avengers Infinity rolls around, they're all, you know, kind of back together. But yeah.
So just having that be like, that was just like, that was a tough like moment in the movie, I think. And
Yeah,
then
no.
the whole scene with Dreykov where he's like, she's buried in a random place with an unmarked grave.
Yeah.
Like
Like
that's
you'll
just like
never know where
that,
she's
yeah, you'll
at.
never
Yeah.
know where she's at. You'll never know who she is. Like that's so like that's terrible. So
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's, you know, it's and that's what I think is interesting about the movie is that sometimes like, you know, it's like the found family. Like she's like at the end, you know, she's like, you know, she reconciles. She's never gonna see her mom. You know, whatever family she would have had, you know. She didn't have that, but by the end of this, she now realizes that she has two families. She's got the family with her, you know, fake family who've now kind of reconciled, and then the Avengers, who have become her family, more so than anybody else. And you can even tell that that's in Endgame. after, you know, the 5 years and everything like that, she's holding on as hard as she can to the Avengers. And, you know, she's leading the Avengers at that point, you know, and
yeah.
And so it's like, you know, because she's just trying to hold on to that family. And it just, it hurts so much that so many of them are gone. And, you know, even her best friend is like vanished, you know, so, you know, being Clint. And so it's just, yeah, it's just kind of heartbreaking to go back and see, like, you know, this point where she did kind of have, you know, two families, but they were still kind of fractured and broken and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just, it was a lot. Yeah. It's a kind of an emotional movie at times, definitely, you know, just dealing with all that, especially, you know, the two of them, Natasha and Yelena, kind of dealing with the fact that, you know, they, you know, Natasha put up those walls to survive. She, it's even goes back to a comment that she made, in, The Winter Soldier, that, Cap asks her, you know, who do you want to be? Or like, she says, who do you want me to be? And, he says a friend, and, but she says, that pretending to be different people, is a good way to survive.
Yeah.
And so, you know, being whoever she needs to be is, you know, in whatever particular moment is a good way to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just, it's hard for her. So she put up all those walls and everything. And Yelena, meanwhile, you know, she didn't realize, because she was under the chemical subjugation for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, once she's released from that, she starts, you know, she sends the vials to Natasha, not really realizing Natasha's going to come and, you know, eventually find her. But once they've come together and they start, and they go back to find Alexi and Melina and everything, then that family comes together. You know, Yelena says, you know, it was real to me. You know, no matter yeah. how fake it was still real to me, because she was so young when it happened, when they were together, and they were only there for a few months, but it was just enough to make it real for her.
Yeah.
And then you have that moment too, where Natasha finds, Melina's, photo album of them with all the fake pictures that they took, like, over yeah. the course of like a day, where they did all the yeah. holidays and everything. But, you know, you couldn't tell by looking at those pictures that those were all just done in one day. It just seemed like, you know, over the course of a year or whatever, that they did it all. And, you know, she obviously kept that book because she was sentimental, at least a little bit, for that as well. Whereas Alexi, he kind of moved on. He's just
yeah.
living in his, you know, but you can tell, though, over the course of the movie, he tries to make amends with them. He doesn't do a good job at it.
Yeah.
But he is trying to make amends, and he's trying, he realizes that, you know, that he wasn't great, and that they needed a father when he, and he's the best they have, you know?
Yeah.
So, I did find it a lot of fun in that, you know, as messed up and messy as it is, you know, they still kind of found each other and still became a family again, after all that time. So, but, yeah, no, it's, I think yeah. that it's, that's what makes it really fun. In so many ways, just, you know, it's a fun action flick. It's a fun, thing. And, you know, definitely the standouts are, Yelena and, Red Guardian for me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's definitely Natasha's story, but they come in so strong, with their characters. And Melina's great too. But, you know, Yelena, Florence Pugh's Yelena, is just so great. And she gets to continue the character again in the Hawkeye series. And it's just, she's so much fun.
Yeah.
In both.
They do a great job at creating her character.
Oh yeah. Yeah. 100%. She's so,
and she does it. And she does a great job at, like, making the character who she is just by being who she is too. So
yeah.
You were talking about how, like, Alexi kind of, like, grows over the course of the movie, and
Yeah.
there was a moment at the end that I was like, oh, because he like when they're all kind of like grouping up at the end after everything's said and done, Natasha is like, are you gonna say anything? And then he says, I'll just mess it up. Like,
Yeah.
I would just mess it up. Like, that shows like that he cares, and
Yeah.
that he had like he's coming from a good place, but he doesn't always say the right thing. And so I think that shows that he, I don't know, has grown a little bit more than just like from when they first had him in the helicopter and he's just like saying whatever and they're not caring. So he's just like, I'll just have the moment. And
Yeah.
I think it's good.
No, it definitely shows growth. He's like, look, I'm just gonna mess it up, so I'm not gonna say anything, but here's my hand to hold. And it's a good moment too, because he understands that he's not quite there, but he's grown enough to realize sometimes they don't need to say anything.
Yeah.
So it's and again, that just speaks to David Harbour being such a great actor too, is that it's just he's so funny, and so awful at the same time.
Yeah.
So but he's living in this glory days of being the Red Guardian who supposedly fought Captain America. And so this is what's interesting too, because they even mentioned it. Captain America was frozen in the ice. That was whoever he fought wasn't the real Captain America.
Yeah.
If he indeed fought somebody, because he does mention it to Natasha. He's talking to her and he's like, does Captain America, does he ever mention me, in our
Yeah.
great battles and everything? And she's like, who? And she's like, and he's like, Captain America. And so there's this interesting history in the comic books too of Captain America. Once he'd gone into the ice, the government actually put out like a kind of hired on a couple of guys to pretend to be Captain America so that there was a continuation of him, and so that the American people wouldn't know that he was gone. So it was, and it happened at least a couple of times. So there was like a Captain America that existed in the 50s, that because he went into the ice at the end of World War II, and then in the comic books was unfrozen around, I think, 63 or 64. So it's only like 20 years. And so with so in the comic books there was a Captain America. Captain America continued as a character in the comic books, but it like at the time they said it was him, of course, because they're just continuing his adventures. But later on, they retroactively made it a different person who took on the identity and actually had like taken like they had like brain like not brainwashed him, but it implanted like new memories to make him think he was Steve.
So weird.
Yeah, no, comic books are bizarre and so dumb at times and everything like that. But it makes for an interesting history and kind of makes for an interesting, like, that's the kind of thing that when they do that in the movies, where for the comic book fans, the people who've read that kind of stuff are like, oh yeah, that's what they're alluding to,
Yeah.
and so I thought that was a fun bit. There's also a couple of other comic book allusions to different Russian comic book characters that were part of a team with Red Guardian. They're the guy whose arm he breaks, who questions him about fighting Captain America in the 80s. He calls him Ursa, which is bear in Russian. And that is a character in the comic books. It's a guy who turns into a bear, called Ursa Major. And then later on, when Yelena and Alexei are talking, she calls him Crimson Dynamo, and he's like, "No, it's Red Guardian." Crimson Dynamo is actually a character, also, like an Iron Man-like guy in a armor. So it was interesting to kind of name check those two characters, even though we didn't get to see them. It's a,
for the comic book fans.
Yeah, exactly. It's those little comic book Easter eggs that are always fun to, you know, for people like me who've read a ton of stuff and pick up on a lot of that stuff. So it was like, oh, hey, that thing, you know. So us comic book nerds love that stuff. So, but yeah, no, it's that all of that, you know, is so, it makes it just a lot of fun. It's great seeing other Black Widows in this movie as well. Getting to see the Red Room, getting to see all this, you know, the kind of some of the story behind it. Even it being as sinister as it is, and horrible as it is, it's great to kind of see that and kind of connect Natasha's backstory a lot more. So, and that's why I think is great, even though we it took until after Endgame for us to finally get a Black Widow movie. I'm glad that we finally did. She should have definitely gotten it earlier on. But, you know, for whatever reason, it just took a while. I'm glad we finally got it. And, you know, unfortunately, it came out right around the time COVID started happening. So it didn't do well in the theaters, didn't make a lot of money like it should have.
Yeah, it happened. It came out like the summer after.
2021, so it was like
came out that summer.
Yeah, so it came out, you know, summer of 2021, so it was like, you know, already a year in, but so it still wasn't like, you know,
people were getting vaccinations, but
yeah,
movie theaters were still like, I mean, I can say from experience that movie theaters were still following like social distancing and like a bunch of other like COVID 19 like safety things,
right?
So
because that was slightly like, just after you had started working at the movie theater.
Yeah, so at that point, like, a lot of people still weren't coming to the movies, and I mean, Black Widow was the movie that came out on digital, and that's why Scarlett
that's
Johansson
true,
did that whole lawsuit, was because she wasn't getting anything because it went out to wherever it went. I think Disney Plus.
Well, it was Disney Plus, where you could buy it on Disney Plus and get it early like that. So, you know, they didn't put it out for streaming for free, you know, not for free anyway, but like, you know, for the regular customers, you had to actually pay an additional $20 to be able to watch it. Because of that, there were a lot of people who didn't go, and like we said, you know, because of it was still, you know, theaters were still just having a hard time getting people to come in, that and rightfully so, that everybody's still being pretty cautious, but it's it just didn't do well. And yeah, she sued because they kind of tried to stiff her on that, because they did make some money selling it through Disney Plus like they did, but she wasn't seeing any of that money, and she was like, nah, you know, because she was supposed to make a percentage of ticket sales, and so she was getting a back end deal, where she should have made quite a bit of money, and because of all that, she kind of got screwed, and she's like, you know, this wasn't part of the agreement. And so she sued. It became a whole legal nightmare issue for them. And it's probably likely why we'll never see her in an MCU, you know, property ever again. So, you know, unless they, you know, and I'm not sure if that was anything to do with the MCU or if it was Disney or what. So who knows what the actual situation is. I'm sure that somebody knows. So it made it difficult for sure. But it's I'm glad that it eventually, I guess, they settled it and figured something out, and you know, she got her money, and rightfully so, because you know, and this is the kind of thing that ended up leading to the most recent strikes that we had, because actors and writers were not getting the due that they needed to get for streaming stuff.
Yeah,
and so, you know, because they were fudging the numbers or not revealing numbers, and were kind of screwing people out of the stuff. So, you know, I'm glad that it finally got resolved in a good way. So, But yeah, it's but that none of that detracts from the movie. It's a great movie. It's very fun. Like I said, it gets better every time I watch it. So,
Yep.
but yeah, it's I don't think I have much else to say about it. Just that it was a lot of fun, and I wish that I'm glad to see that the characters, even if it's not Natasha, I'm glad to see that the rest of the characters are continuing on and getting to kind of, you know, play with that family aspect, hopefully a little bit more. So,
for sure.
Sorry, I was looking at something.
It's okay.
Okay, so apparently the teasing that Yelena gives Natasha about her posing and everything, apparently that happened during filming. Florence Pugh was teasing Scarlett Johansson about it during filming. And so one of the writers put it into the film. So
that's so funny.
Yeah, that just feels like something that would happen too. So it's great that something Florence Pugh did, like, then became something that the characters did. So,
yeah.
Interesting. It's just, I don't know.
It's a fun movie.
Yeah, it's just a fun movie.
A lot of people don't like Scarlett Johansson's character, so a lot of people skip this movie just for that anyways.
Which I think is a mistake. I think Natasha is an interesting character, and you get to see different facets of her, different interpretations of her in every movie. Personally, I like the version that's in Winter Soldier the best, but this is a very close second in this one. And yeah. Not that there's different versions. They're all the same character. Just, you know, different writers, different directors, putting different emphasis on her. But I think this movie and Winter Soldier give her the best chances at being a character. Because she's not, in some of the other movies, she's just not as big of a character. It's a bit much bigger ensemble. And she doesn't get to shine as much. So,
yeah.
But yeah, no, I think, you know, overall she's great. She was, you know, a great addition to the overall MCU. And personally, I'll miss her being around. She was a fun character for the whole thing. So, but
yeah,
like I said, I'm glad we get Yelena and all of them popping up a little bit more here, and it'll be fun to see where Thunderbolts takes us from there. All right. Do you have anything else that you want to say about it that we didn't already mention?
I do not.
Okay. Well, why don't you let people know where they can find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at RCKMNKY, and I have a pinned tweet there that has all the rest of my socials.
Right. That's about it for me. And I appreciate you coming on. You're going to be coming on for the very next episode also,
yes,
when we're going to be talking about
Shang-Chi. Woo.
So that's that. Stay tuned for all of that, everybody. It'll be another lot of fun movie. That made no sense with those words together, but that's okay.
It's okay. It's late.
It's late, but yeah. No, it'll be a fun episode. So everybody come back next week, and we'll be talking about Shang-Chi. Thanks again to Katrina for joining me. On Friday, Katrina is back to talk about Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. And on Monday, Amber Knapp returns to the show with Phantom of the Mall, Eric's Revenge, and Chopping Mall. Thanks for listening. Creepy and Geeky is a part of the Morbidly Beautiful Podcast Network. Please check out morbidlybeautiful.com/podcasts for more great shows. If you like what you've heard, please consider giving the show 5 stars and a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Also, please share the podcast on social media to help spread the word. Make sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast app or at creepyandgeeky.com. Music for the podcast is Gratitude, composed by Harper Smith. You can follow the podcast on social media at Creepy and Geeky on both Twitter and Instagram. If you'd like to follow me, I'm GeekThulu on Twitter and Geek.Thulu on Instagram. You can support the podcast by ordering teas and more on TeePublic or by donating to the Ko-fi page. All of the links are in the show notes. Finally, don't forget, stay creepy.